What a glorious day. What a glorious Savior we have in Christ Jesus. My name is Jared. For those who don't know, I'm one of the pastors here. And I want to thank each and every one of you for being here, especially if you don't normally go to church, or if you have different beliefs, or if you've taken a step outside your comfort zone in being here with us today. Our church, I always like to say, is not a museum of perfected saints. We are, each one of us, a part of a hospital for the sin sick and the needy and the broken. And it is because we know our many sins and our need for a Savior that Easter is such glorious good news to us. For me, it is absolutely the best day of the year. We gather with joy in our hearts to proclaim the greatness of the God who has saved us. Christianity does not depend upon our morality, but upon Christ. Christianity is certainly not associated with any particular political leader or political party. Christianity is not a self-righteous, condescending religion. It is a voice of humility and love and hope in an age of arrogance and hatred and despair. And at the center of it all is the risen Christ who conquered death. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for our sermon text today. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. May God bless the preaching and the hearing of his word. In the cemetery at Godric's Hollow is where Harry Potter finds the grave of his parents, Lily and James Potter. I'm not going to give any spoilers, don't worry. It says that as Harry approached the grave, he approached the grave feeling as if something heavy were pressing on his chest, a grief that had actually weighed on his heart and lungs. The headstone was made of white marble, and this made it easy to read as it seemed to shine in the dark. As he stood there by that grave, we're told that tears came to Harry's face as he considered what death had taken from him. Under the names and dates on the simple headstone, there is an inscription, and we're told that Harry read the words slowly, as though he would have only one chance to take in their meaning. Then he read the inscription aloud in that dark, cold cemetery. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Author J.K. Rowling has said that that one verse, the verse in our passage, sums up the entire series, the story from beginning to end with Death Eaters and a resurrection stone and the Deathly Hallows is all about the defeat of death, all about how death is destroyed through love and self-sacrifice. At the center of Christianity is the message that Jesus Christ died in the place of sinners and rose from the dead to give us victory over death. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Verse 20. This message of the physical, historical resurrection of Jesus from the dead is what the great apostles proclaimed, and it is what all of Christianity is built upon. We heard earlier in the reading from this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gives proof there of the resurrection, including Christ appearing to many eyewitnesses, many who were still living at that time. And we have heard testimony, and I trust you know this room is filled with people who have joined with the countless Christians throughout history and across the globe who have come to see the teaching of Christianity as the most plausible, appealing, and livable of explanations for reality. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is intellectually credible to the mind, and it is experientially satisfying to the heart. Christianity is not only true, it is beautiful, and it is livable. And in this message, there is power to change your life forever. I want to consider this passage today under two headings. One, a terrible enemy, and two, a mighty champion. First, a terrible enemy. God tells us that death has entered the world through sin, and that death has spread to all people because all have sinned. And I know that sounds like bad news, and it is bad news, but the first step toward hope is having the humility to acknowledge, to admit that we ourselves have sinned against a holy God, that we ourselves deserve his righteous judgment. Verse 21, by a man came death. Verse 22, in Adam all die, without exception. Adam acted as our representative, and we have all, every one of us, followed in his footsteps in rebelling against the God who made us. And now death casts its gloomy shadow over all the earth. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. We know it, we feel it in our bodies. We see it in those we grieve. The dominion of death has lasted for thousands of years, this dark shroud that terrorizes all of humanity. This is the Christian view of things. It is the true view of things, that God's good work in creation has been wrecked by sin and death. And this enemy is all around us, and it affects everything we do. If you want to know why even the good things of life, even the very best things of life, are so quickly frustrated and so quickly spoiled, it is because you and I are living in the shadow land of death. And all creation groans under the effects of the fall. All of the sickness and sadness, the trauma and disorders, the loneliness and shame. The Bible provides the ultimate explanation for these things, and it is a spiritual explanation of what has gone wrong with the world. There is an enemy, and his rule affects every one of us. Easter this year for me hits different because at the beginning of the year, as many of you in our church family know, my dad's health took a serious turn for the worse, a blood cancer that is rapidly progressing. Without treatment, he won't make it through the year. With treatment, we hope he has a few more years. And so our family has come face to face with the last enemy. And we will all, friends, face the last enemy soon enough. And it is in light of this enemy that the truth of Easter takes on all of its glory and all of its joy. Because Easter is the celebration that this age-old darkness will not last forever. The dark shroud of death that covers the earth has been pierced by resurrection light, by the light of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And when Jesus comes again in glory, death will finally be destroyed forever. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, which leads to, second point, a mighty champion. There is another man who, like Adam, functioned as a representative for humanity. But where Adam failed, this man has triumphed. He triumphed over death by rising from the dead. And it may be that that sounds like the wildest thing that you have ever heard. It might seem unreasonable and unbelievable to you, but I assure you that it is reasonable, that the historical evidence is formidable. And I challenge you to consider the alternatives. How do you explain the empty tomb? How do you explain the testimony of many eyewitnesses, hundreds of them, on many different occasions who saw Jesus of Nazareth rise from the dead? How do you explain the impact that the resurrection had on Jesus' followers? These skeptical, doubting disciples who were so weak came to believe he rose from the dead. And thousands in Jerusalem came to believe that Jesus is God. In the exact geographic location where Jesus died, at the exact time following his death, it is a historical fact that there was a massive spread of Christianity that exploded overnight, based entirely on the claim that the man who had just died is risen from the dead and is to be worshipped as God in the flesh. How do you explain it? We are among the countless multitudes who believe the most plausible, logical, compelling explanation is this, and I declare it to you today on the authority of God's word, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Through one man has come the resurrection from the dead. Only one man had the power to conquer death. Someone said, I checked the tomb of Buddha and it was occupied. And I checked the tomb of Confucius and it was occupied. And I checked the tomb of Muhammad and it was occupied. And I came to the tomb of Jesus and it was empty. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He has been raised as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ, the first fruits, is a farming picture. The first batch of the crops that guarantees that more will follow. It is the promise. The first fruits is the promise that there is more to come. That with the resurrection of Jesus, a whole new age has dawned. And we're told in our passage that everyone who belongs to this risen Christ, everyone who is in Christ, will most certainly be made alive at his coming. Therefore, the most important question in the world that comes to every one of us is, do you belong to him? Do you believe in him? Have you given your life to him? Have you turned from sin, from living for this world, and put your faith in Christ? Have you come to believe that he is the only hope of the world, the only way of salvation? I plead with you this day, God has brought you to this place that you might hear this message and that you might join the many who have believed, who have bowed their knee to this great and glorious Messiah. To belong to Jesus means you are not trusting in your own good works or your moral performance for your acceptance with God, but that you are trusting in Christ alone. All your hope is in him. And if that is you, the good news of Easter is that you are destined for resurrection. And that your future in Christ is more glorious than you have ever imagined. Verse 24 says, then comes the end. I wonder, what do you think is the end of the story of humanity? Is it all meaningless? That's what the naturalists and the secularists would have you believe. What is all of time and history moving toward? God has told us. God has spoken. We know the end of the story because God has made it known. Jesus Christ will come again. Verse 24. He will hand over the kingdom to God the Father, and Jesus will destroy every other rule and power, reigning over sin, reigning over Satan, reigning over death and hell. Verse 25, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. I thank God it does not say some of his enemies will be under his feet, but all of his enemies will be placed under his feet. I found myself last week in a situation where I had to kill a few snakes. It was only because they were going into a hole in the side of my house, which does not seem like a good thing. But I like to think that that is exactly what Christ has done with that old serpent named Satan and with death itself. They have been crushed beneath his heel. And what we have in this passage is one of the great statements in all of Scripture of the victory of Christ. Christus Victor, that he is the champion, that he has won, that Jesus has secured a victory over every single one of his enemies. Do you realize what this means for you and me today? It means you can take heart, weary sinner, struggling through life in this world. Take heart if you are experiencing a particular area of your life as defeat and as bondage, because we know that there is a champion. We know that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We have at times worried that sin will have the victory. But then we remember the word of God that there is forgiveness in the name of Jesus for every sin. And that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have worried that all of our past mistakes, all of our regrets, all of the shame will have the victory. But God declares that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Satan and the powers of darkness will not have the victory because Jesus lives to destroy the works of the devil. And even now, the kingdom of darkness is collapsing as the reign of Christ continues its spread through all the world. We have feared that death would have the victory, but now we know that Christ has risen. Pain and sorrow, all of our grief, will not have the victory because God will one day transform all of our suffering into something glorious, and he has promised that because of Christ, he himself will wipe away every tear. Every tear wiped away. That means that your deepest sorrows, however unimaginable they have been, however unimaginable they continue to be and presently are, your deepest sorrows in Christ will be transformed into glory and joy. This good news is what we need. This good news is what sets us free to live lives of flourishing and happiness and hope all of our days and all of eternity. This is the good news that we celebrate today, and I pray that more and more men and women will come to see and to open your hearts to treasure this Christ, to live for him, to bow your knee, to confess that he is Lord of all. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead means all creation will be restored. Every sorrow will be redeemed. Every trial will be renamed. All that is broken will be healed. The works of death, in all of their terror, will one day be upended. Every enemy of God will be defeated, and all creation will bow our knees, and all creation will lift our voices to praise the name above all names, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Rise, O church, and lift your voices. Christ has conquered death and hell. All praise be to Christ who conquered death. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God. Christ is risen. Christ has triumphed. Christ is worthy to be praised, and we will adore his name now and for all eternity. He lives. All glory to his name. Praise be to the name of the Lord, this mighty Savior. Amen.